Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to do it until I get a reaction out of more than five. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that it's important that we respond. Praise the Lord. And so we need to respond. If we need to learn how to respond in church, because if we learn how to respond right in church, then when the devil comes after us, we'll know how to respond right to him. Amen. Because one of the biggest problems with Christians is they don't know how to respond to the devil. Or they do know how to respond to the devil, but they don't do it. And see, the Bible says when Jesus came up to the fig tree and the fig tree wasn't giving him anything, the Bible said that he answered it. Amen? What was he answering? Did the fig tree say anything to him? Did it speak to him? Did the fig tree grow a mouth and talk just to Jesus and Jesus only? No, it didn't do any such thing at all. But it was speaking to him by the lack, praise the Lord. And that's what he answered. He answered the lack. And so when you have something in your life that doesn't line up with the Word of God, that doesn't line up with what you know is true, praise the Lord, then you need to speak to that thing and get it to speak right. Praise the Lord. And that's why we encourage people to speak in church, because it's important to understand that when you hear the truth and you answer and you say, yes, that's the truth, God sees that you recognize that his word is truth. Amen. And then God can be big on your behalf. And don't we want God to be big on our behalf? Praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge. Glory to God. But that's not my sermon today. That just gets us started. Hallelujah. Just get you stirred. We got some good things we're preaching here today. The word of God is so rich. You know, and God has really been just dealing with me on some things so much lately, and I'm just so thankful that I get to preach them today. Amen. I got to preach some of them last night, and I told my wife that actually last night's sermon and today's sermon probably could have been a one of two-part series, but we didn't do it that way. This is the way we're doing it. But today's message is called The Harvest is Great. Amen. And we're going to be talking about some things that are very, very important for us to understand. You know, we're basically what we're going to be talking about is growing up in spiritually, amen? Growing up into the things of God, you know? There's nothing more annoying than a 30 or 40-year-old kid that still lives in mom's basement and doesn't do anything for themselves, amen? I'm not saying that someone who doesn't have a job and can't, I'm not saying it's wrong to live at your parents' house for an extended time or anything like that. But I'm saying if you do so perpetually and you never take care of yourself, but you let your parents take care of it, you understand what I'm saying? That you never pay any bills, you know, that you just, you know, you play video games, all, there's nothing more annoying than that, amen? And the same thing goes spiritually. I can imagine as our Heavenly Father looks down, sometimes he looks down at the state of Christianity today and he gets annoyed by us. Amen? You know, God can get annoyed too. How do we know that? Well, we see Jesus got annoyed when he went into the temple and he started cracking whips, right? Because we are intended to grow. Anything, actually this was said to me once and I love it because it's true, but anything that isn't growing is dying. You know what I'm saying? Anything that isn't continue to grow and change as we progress through life. And everything around us is the same way. God has designed us to do that. But he's also designed us to do that spiritually. If you come into a church and 4 years later you look the same as you did when you came in, something's off and it's not on God's end. Praise the Lord. I said it's not on God's end. It may be on your end. It may be on the preacher's end, but we just happen to know it's not on our end. How do we know that it's not on our end? Because we got people that grow. Hallelujah. And if some people grow, that means that all people should grow. Praise the Lord. Because God hasn't just said, well, some will grow and some won't. You know, he said some will and some won't, but he didn't say that was what he wanted. Amen. He said he wants all to grow. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that, and we're going to see that it's connected to the plan of God. Praise the Lord. The Christian world is, by and large, a very, very selfish place. Amen? I see it as I've been a pastor, even when I wasn't a pastor. The Christian world is generally so, there's so much in today's Christian world that is about me. It's about I, it's about doing for you, it's about making you better. And we're going to see in Scripture that is the number one problem with people. That's why people fail to receive from God. That's why people fail to walk out the plan of God. That's why people don't see the blessing of God. It's because it's all me-oriented. It's I-oriented, amen? The reason that we teach people how to endure is not just to get you through every trial for yourself, but it's to get people to grow up in the faith. See, we teach people how to go through trial, how to be victorious in trial, not just so you can get through the trial, but so you know how to get through the trial. Amen? So there should be a point in your life where you aren't coming all the time with the same stuff going, listen, I'm still having this problem, still having this problem, still having this problem. Sooner or later, you have to be able to fix your own cereal. Sooner or later, you got to be able to cook your own meal. Sooner or later, you got to be able to wash your own backside. Amen? You know what I'm saying? This is just the way it is. We don't want to be perpetual babies. Amen? And I'm not saying you all are perpetual babies, but I'm saying this is a problem church-wide. And I don't mean this church-wide. I mean church-wide. I mean the whole body of Christ-wide. Amen? Praise the Lord. But what happens is a lot of times people coming out of the world come into a place like this, and they bring that in, and they want to hold on to that babiness. And we need to get to a place where we need to learn how to survive. Praise the Lord. We got to survive. Because if we don't learn how to survive, if we don't learn to stand on our own, we're going to be in a heap of mess. Amen. We're just going to have a nursery school here, and that's where we're going to stay. Now, listen, if you're new to us, if you're new here, you know, you don't have to get right on board right instantly. Sometimes it takes a few minutes. We understand that, and that's fine. But we all want to get to that place where we grow. And I'll tell you, because it's a blessing in your life when you learn how to grow and take care of problems. You know, I love testimonies. Testimonies are one of my favorite things because testimonies mean that people are receiving the word. It means that something is happening. When people talk to me about a testimony, I don't get excited because we did something, because it's not us. It's the power of God doing it. You know what I mean? We act according to the word, and we teach the word. And as a result, if people listen and connect to it, they will have change in their life that will be wonderful, be good. But if they don't, they won't. So we love the testimonies because that means that all the labor that we're doing, people are actually connected to it and saying, yes, yes, amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm just going to remember, I got a new device here. So I'm learning how to use some new things. So you have to forgive me if I fumble with it just a little bit. Praise the Lord. But God is good. Amen. So we're not just teaching people to get through trial just so they can get through that trial and that they can go on to the next day. We're teaching people how to learn how to go through trial. When something comes and presents itself against you, you need to get to a point and fairly quickly. Listen, Christians, we shouldn't spend time where we don't know. Like, listen, if you deal with sickness in your body, you need to learn how to deal with sickness. You need to learn how to deal with it and not take the garbage from the devil. Because the sickness is not from God, it's always from the devil. We need to learn how to deal with it. We need to learn to deal with it in faith. Amen? I was thinking about this morning. Whatever you're dealing with, you need to know scripture on it. Praise the Lord. You need to know it. If you're dealing with sickness in your body, I should be able to come to you and say, what's... do you know about healing? And you should be able to quote them so good that they're so into you. If you don't need to know that, you don't really want healing. If you don't have these things built in you, if you couldn't preach a message on the answer to your problem, praise the Lord, glory to God. If you can't preach a message on it, then that's your first problem. You don't know enough. You don't have enough scripture in you. Amen? This is correction for me as well. I'm not just correcting people. I'm correcting myself as well. And I'm telling you that because I go through the same things. There's things I deal with. Can I preach a message on it without even studying? See, that's what happens with Christians is they don't learn this Bible. Praise the Lord. They don't learn to hold on to it, and they don't learn the truth in it. And because they don't learn it, the Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Amen? It's not because the devil's so big and bad because he's so tough. See, they're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we need to be able to preach to our problems. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I got to thinking about this, and it's so funny that the Lord brought this up with me, but I got to thinking about football. Hallelujah. Football. Glory to God. Imagine a football team. Imagine you're watching your football game, your favorite football team. I don't have one because I don't even like football. Praise the Lord. But imagine you're watching your favorite football team, and they come out on the field, and they come out from all different directions, and they stand there, and you know, it's time to start the game, and they all start doing different things. You know, the quarterback starts running. Praise the Lord. I might have to have Brother Scott come up here and help me. The kicker guy, he starts trying to tackle. Praise the Lord. Is it kicker guy? Is that what they're called? I don't know either. But the tackler guys, they start trying to kick. You know what I'm saying? They just start doing their own thing. And you see another guy over here, he's swinging a bat, praise the Lord. And you got another guy over here with a tennis racket, you know. It would be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Because they're all assigned something. They're all part of the team, but they're all doing different things. And that's exactly what the body of Christ is happening in the body of Christ. We have this team of people that are supposed to go out there and win this world for Jesus, and yet everybody's doing their own thing. You know what I mean? It's like, today I just wanted to do tennis, so even though I'm part of this game, I'm out there swinging my tennis drive. Oh, I got to go back over this way because the camera won't get me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you understand, that's kind of the problem that we have. And see, we look at it, and of course, that example, even if you like football or not, is ridiculous in your mind. Yeah. We think about it, and you're like, yeah, that would be foolishness, right? But see, that's the way the body of Christ looks so often, because the body of Christ, everybody's out there doing their own thing. It's like, oh, I'm out here doing my own. No, God has a plan for us, and that plan includes us. That means we need to be actively seeking God's plan. See, we actively always want God's help, but are we actively seeking God's plan? You can't have one without the other. You can't have one without the other. You want the blessing of God? Then you got to be fully connected to His plan if you want this full blessing. That's why we're going to see this today. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to start Matthew 6:33. Praise God. It's early, so we can go ahead and turn there. I'll probably regret it later when I'm looking for time. At the end of the message, praise the Lord. Matthew 6:33, we know this scripture. I preached on it recently and bring it up again, but hey, you know what? As I seek the Lord, I don't sit before the Lord and say, Lord, bring me scriptures that I haven't seen before. Although I am using one that I know I've never preached on before today, but I don't care what God brings me. If He brings me, because we need to get it, amen? Matthew 6:33, praise the Lord. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's absolutely amazing to me as a pastor how people can twist this. Or they can twist it in their own mind. And what I mean by that is this. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And people will hear that, and they'll still leave here and think that they can seek their own things and still have the things God has for them. Or they still seek them. You can't. You seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. And in context, Jesus was talking about basically everything that's needed for life. Your food, your house, your clothing, everything that you do. Now most people's lives are based around what they do for a living. Amen. I remember, you know, when I worked in the factory, especially, you know, I would work there. There were certain people I worked with every single day, and those people I got to know them like brothers and sisters. I mean, that's the way it was. We were with each other. I was with them more than I was with my family, you know. And so our lives are a lot of times they are quite involved with our work. You know, some people, you know, they have jobs, busy jobs. They work, you know, tons and tons of hours and stuff like that. But, you know, all that stuff is based around supplying your basic needs. That's what it's for. Or your basic desires. That's what it's for. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all those things will be added to you. Now, that doesn't mean that you put aside that you don't work, that you don't do, you know, the things that you got to do for life. Obviously, we still have to live in this world. And God said that if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So God said it. If you don't work, you don't eat. Plain and simple. So you can't just lay around being lazy all the time and not do anything. Now, if you're sick, or if you're a mother staying at home taking care of you, are working. So praise the Lord for you. You know, you need to be able to eat as well. But the Bible is very clear about these things. But the focus should not be those things. The focus in our life should not be those things. It doesn't matter if you need to pay the bills. Your focus has still got to be God. Why? Because He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Or as we said before, righteousness is His way of thinking. Seek first. That's what you seek first. Everything else is second. I said everything else is second. My wife and I love each other more than, like, I can't imagine loving anyone more than I love my wife. But I'm going to tell you right now that I love God more than I love her. And I seek God before I seek her. And because of that, my wife and I have a wonderful relationship, because we both feel that way. It's God first in our lives. God first on everything. I love my kids as much or equal as much as that. And I can't imagine anything ever releasing my kids for anything. I don't even want them to move out of the house, praise the Lord. That's how I am. You know what I'm saying? I love my kids. I love being around my kids. I love spending time with my kids. But they're second when it comes to God. I said they're second when it comes to God. Why? Because God's first in everything. And if God isn't first in your life, that's the first problem. God has to be first, because you can't get from God, you can't receive from God if you're putting Him second. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now listen to this. Your trial and your desires will distract you from the work of the Lord. Your trial and your desires will distract you from the work of the Lord. The thing that you're going through, the trial, the thing that's coming against you, that will distract you from doing what God, that's what it's designed to do. But your desires left unchecked will do the same thing. Desires are not a bad thing. God wants us to desire good things in life. We should always be thinking bigger. You know, I tell families all the time, it's important that families go on vacation. It's important that they do. It's important that families spend time together. Praise the Lord. But not at the sacrifice of God all the time. Not at the sacrifice. You know, we don't sacrifice God. Somebody actually made a comment to me. Praise the Lord. Somebody made a comment to me about having the summer with my family. And I said, yeah, but I spend the rest of the year and we don't get family time. We don't get this all this family time that people go, because we give up our weekends. We give up the extra time in the evenings. You know, if you've ever had a counseling appointment with me in the evening, guess what I'm sacrificing to do it? My family time. That's why I don't fit my schedule around everybody's. That's why I make, because people take off for the doctor's appointment, but then for some reason they think that the pastor needs to be there anytime. Well, wait a minute. I got a family that I got to take care of too. You know what I'm saying? But so we have to look at things. And that's important. But, you know, that comment to me actually kind of ticked me off a little bit because, now it wasn't somebody in this church, praise the Lord, glory to God, but it ticked me off a little bit because it's somebody who doesn't, they don't understand what you truly sacrifice when you go through the rest of your life. Like, I understand that this is my full-time job, but, you know, I don't get, that doesn't mean that all week long my family and I just sit together, you know, playing tiddlywinks all week long while everybody else is working. No, we're working all week too, praise the Lord. A lot of times we're working 7 days a week. Praise the Lord. My wife definitely is all year round, and she works for the church on top of it, doesn't even get paid for it. Spencer, you know what I'm saying? Well, why do I say all this? Because this is the desire. People have to understand that the kingdom of God, serving the kingdom of God or being connected to the kingdom of God, it isn't just for pastors. It's for everybody. But see, people will fill up their time schedule. They'll fill up their lives with all kinds of things, forgetting about God, and then they wonder why they don't have the power of God working in their lives. That's why it is. I'm not trying to say this to be mean to people or to condemn people. Listen, we had to learn this stuff too. And it wasn't until we did that our lives started changing. Yeah. Amen? Praise God. Because God wants to do things in us. But we have to get to a place where we allow Him to do that. And it's only going to do it according to His Word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now again, I want to preface this by saying this does not mean you cannot enjoy life. For God's sakes, we enjoy life. Praise the Lord. Because we're going to make life fun. We're going to demand that we enjoy life. I will not live this life without enjoying it, without enjoying my family. I will not do it. But there is a time to work and there is a time to play. Amen? Praise the Lord. And sometimes we have to just do what we got to do. This is going to take us higher. Praise the Lord. I promise you. So your trials and your desires will distract you from the work of the Lord. The purpose of your faith is not to let... The purpose of your faith is to not let it. Your purpose of building faith is so you don't you learn how to not allow trials and desires to do that. See, because what happens is the desires aren't bad, but what happens is people spend more time chasing desires and never really living in them. They're never really living in their desires. They're just chasing them. I remember this for years and years and years as I was in full-time workforce, like in the factory or whatever. I was always looking for a way out. I spent hours a day. I would be sitting there inspecting things. You know, as I worked in this factory, I was an inspector, and I was inspecting all these parts, and I was looking at them, and the whole time I'm scheming in my head. How do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? When I was in my free time, I was coming up with business ideas, and how do I get out of this? How do I get out of this? See, that's what we do. We will chase like a dog chasing its tail. We'll run around in circles chasing the same dream and never obtaining it. And the whole time, if we just submitted ourselves to God, we'd have gotten there. The whole time. Because God wants us to get there. He wants us to be blessed. He wants you to be happy in life. He wants you to enjoy your family. God didn't give you a family to enjoy. He wants you to enjoy it. In fact, you will enjoy your family better when you do it God's way. But we have to learn how to do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Faith in trial and faith in want. That's what we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have faith in trial. When we have trial, we need to learn how to deal with it and get through it. Praise the Lord. And when we're in want, in other words, what it means to be in want is to desire things. To, you know, is there something that you want? Maybe you want a nicer house. Maybe you want a nicer car. God cares about that. I'm just going to tell you. Maybe you want to dress in nicer clothes. God cares about that. You don't think He does? I mean, if you think about it from this way. Do you want your kids in raggedy old clothes? Do you hope your kids grow up and don't have as much as you did? No. Well, why would God ever either? Bible says He has every hair. Is hair on your head, does it have purpose? Well, for some of us it does, and some of us it doesn't. I ain't going to look too hard, but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes hair doesn't stay there, amen? But you know, the Bible says that God has every one of them numbered. Why does He have them numbered? Because if something's numbered, it means something. It's important. You keep track of it. Praise the Lord. The last time I shaved my face, I didn't keep track of every hair that went down the drain. The last time I got a haircut, I'm sure that Julie didn't go through and make sure that they were all ordered and numbered. In fact, I've seen them, you know, Julie and Trish, they sit there. I've seen them not even care. They just sweep up all our loose hair into a pile and they just give it away or throw it away or whatever. They don't even care about it. God numbers the hairs. I'm not talking bad about Julie and Trish. Of course, they do a wonderful job. That's what they're supposed to do. But my point is, the reason the Bible tells us that is so we understand that God cares about the little things. He cares about that so much that it's numbered. If it's buried 10 feet in the ground, He still cares about it. It was numbered. Amen? I don't know if that matters to you, but man, that really speaks to me this morning. Hallelujah. God wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to be blessed. That's what the whole purpose of God sending Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I have come that they may have a life and more abundantly. Live life and live it more abundantly. Amen. More blessed. I lived a life where I was depressed and sad all the time and always just lost and just felt that way. It was a horrible way of living. And now I don't live that way anymore. I live a life that's... I'm not saying I don't have trials. Of course I do. We all have trials. But the point is that God has given me victory to always get through the trials, so the trials never remain. They don't stay. I know that they're temporary, and so they don't bother me. Amen? Not like they did before. Praise God. See, but this is all part of growing. See, a person that first comes into church, they don't know this stuff. They don't know that God wants them to grow up into something. And it matters that we do, amen? Your goal is to grow, blah, blah, blah. Your goal is to grow, praise the Lord. Now look at these few scriptures here. I just want to pull them up. Hebrews 5:12. Praise the Lord. What's it say? It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. You need to know. You need to be teachers of the word. Now, when I say this, it doesn't mean you're going to stand in the office of a teacher or that you're going to stand up in a pulpit and preach. But this was written to all Christians. We need to know our faith in and out. I'm going to bring up two examples of something that, and this is sad. There is what we call pseudo-Christian cults. Amen? There's Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons. Both of them know their false doctrine better than most Christians know their true doctrine. How do I know this? Because most Christians wouldn't have the foggiest idea of how to answer them if they came to them. They don't know the word. Listen, I include myself in this. We have to know our word. But see, here's people that are going out. That's what we are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be taking the truth to the world, and most Christians don't even know how to answer false doctrine. It's sad. I include myself in this. I've been in this position. I've had to study these things out. I have to study, continually refresh my mind because there's a lot. We have to know how to answer things. We need to know that when someone says something to us that's not scriptural, we need to know. And we need to know when we stand before somebody. See, the purpose of church is not to get people saved. I'm just telling you. It's not our purpose here. Our purpose is to equip you to go out into the world and get people saved. How are you going to do that if you don't know how to get people saved? If you don't know nothing about teaching people, if you don't spend any time in your word, in the word of God, if you don't spend any time in the lessons that are taught, why do we have church? It's not just to fill a block of time on Sunday. It's so we go out into the world. We ought to be teachers, and yet you need someone to teach you again the principles of the oracles of God, the very first principles. You have come to need milk and not solid food. You know, a baby, that's the way a baby is. A baby is, you can't give a baby a steak. Amen? If you do, it'll choke. It can't consume the steak. It might like the flavor, but it can't consume it. But a baby drinks milk, right? But a baby doesn't do very much, do they? Listen, there's a lot of Christians out there that are perpetual babies. A lot of Christians that are perpetual babies. We need to stop being babies. If you're in church year after year or month after month, if you're in church and you still can't answer the basic questions of the faith, that shows you that you're not doing what your part. You're not connecting to the word. You're not saying, hey, listen, I am not saying, this is the wonderful thing about our faith. You ain't got to know a whole lot to go out there and change somebody's life. But you need to know something. You need to know something. You need to be able to take it to people and say, listen, and if people around us are not getting affected by our faith, then something's wrong. We are not being good Christians if people around us aren't even recognizing our faith. They need to know why you're going to church. And I don't mean they need to know why you're going to church because they hear you talking about it. They need to know why you're going to church because they see it in your life. They see you acting a certain way. They see you talking a certain way. They see you doing things. And you don't just say God is good. You know why God is good. You don't just say God wants to heal. You know why God wants to heal. You don't just say God wants to bless you. You know why God wants to bless you. This is what we need to know. Christians, we need to grow up into these things. We need to be people that are go out there winning because God did not give us church to make us perpetual babies. He gave us church, and the Bible tells us this, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You and I are saints. All of us together. Praise the Lord. Listen, you can, and it's not wrong to bring somebody to church and say, hey, you need to come because they got, my pastor has knowledge in these things and they can help. That's not wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. But you got to understand that people, we need to, I can't reach everybody. I can't reach everybody in the community. You see more people than I do on a week-to-week basis. Because you are out there in the community. When you go to your job, you're surrounded by people. If you work with, if you work a job where you work with other people that come in to see you, like a retail or a trade or something like that, you're reaching other people all the time, and you need to ask yourself, am I reaching them or am I just working around them? Would anybody know any different? Would anybody see anything different in my life? Would they know any difference if I went to church or I didn't? See, we need to ask ourselves about this. Listen, it doesn't stop. I'll talk to my older friends that are retired, praise the Lord. All the more we need to be reaching people. Why? Because now you got time to. Praise the Lord. That's what we're called to do. This is not, people have talked about, I don't plan on retiring from the work of the Lord. There's no such thing as retirement in the work of the Lord. You may stop working a job that you hated all your life because you can retire now, and that's fine. Praise the Lord. You should. Hallelujah. You should be able to, but that doesn't mean you stop doing anything. That's the time when you can turn it up, praise the Lord, and start serving God more. And not just necessarily doing things. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Glory to God. We're not getting very far very fast, but praise God, hallelujah. God wants to do things with us. Listen, we need to be people that are seeking God's will and his plan. This isn't sad. So if you feel a little bit convicted about something, if you feel like, oh, maybe pastor stepping on my toes a little bit, praise the Lord. God's just doing something inside of you. I'm not thinking about people. I'm not trying to tear people apart. I'm just saying this. God wants to do something in us. Amen. He wants to use you for greatness. That's awesome. And he wants to bless you while you're doing it. That's even better. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad we're not in some old stale religion that said that God just wants us broken and defeated and to still do the work. No, the Bible tells us that he wants us happy, excited, fulfilled, blessed, hallelujah, full to running over and doing the work of God. Hallelujah. And he said, the more you do it, the more I'll bless you. He says, the more you connect to my will, the more you connect to my way, I'll bless you. I'll bless you so much you can't stand it. I'm going to bless you so much you're going to say, stop blessing me, God, because I can't take anymore. That's exactly what it, I mean, seriously, do you know what running over means? Running over means I can't take anymore. Give and it shall be given to you. Press down, good measure, press down, shaken together, running over. Will men pour into your bosom? That's what the Bible says. Luke 6:38, praise the Lord. Jesus said that himself. Give and it shall be given to you. What? Good measure, press down, shaken together, and running over. What is the giving? Well, in the context, he's talking about financially, but we know through more of Scripture that it's not just financial, that's everything. Give of your time, give of your services, give of your talents, praise the Lord. Glory to God, hallelujah. You know, I had this happen this week, and I did not do this. I did not do this in planning for this. But Wednesday night, my pastor, and I'm connected to my pastor's vision, and I mentioned this last night. True faithfulness in the church is when you see the pastor's vision as your vision. Because you know, you believe that it's from God. And listen, if you don't believe my vision is from God, you better check yourself on where you're going to church. You might want to go somewhere where you believe it is. Amen. But if you're going here and you think that I'm following God the best that I can, then you have to know that the vision that I'm given is from God. Amen. And I believe that wholeheartedly with my pastor. Just because I'm pastoring two churches now, just because I don't sit in all of his services anymore, does not mean that I'm not connected to his vision. My vision, his vision is my vision. And Wednesday night, I was sitting in his service. And as he was talking Wednesday night, he talked about one of the things in his vision for their church is to build this playground. And he believes with all his heart that the Lord dealt with him about doing it. And it was a way to help bring families in and give families something to do. Listen, family church. We're family oriented, okay? And so we want to take care of families and stuff. And that was on his heart to do. And instantly, I was like, and they were looking for laborers to do that. And I'm like, you know what? I could do that. But I'm like, well, Saturdays, you know, they were having a work day on Saturday. I'm like, well, Saturday, you know, Saturday is the day I preach, and so I usually prepare, and listen, that's what I need to do. But, you know, when I woke up Saturday morning, because it was something that was stirring me, when I woke up on Saturday morning, I instantly had both messages finished, almost instantly. I mean, I had worked on Mabel's message earlier in the week. It had come to me, some stuff had come to me, but I instantly had both messages finished. And I told my wife woke up after I had already finished. I mean, that doesn't happen very often, and I'm up before she is. But I was, and I told her, I said, you know, I just know that it's on my, I know that I'm supposed to go down there and work today. And so I went down there and worked, and it spoke to people, because the thing is, here's the pastor showing up to do the work that the pastor doesn't normally do. My point was, my purpose in doing that was not to get accolades for it, but it was exactly what I'm saying, is that I'm so connected to my pastor's vision that even if it means me sacrificing one of the only times that I have for downtime to do it, I'll do it. Because it means something to me. That's why I'm blessed. That's why my family is blessed, because we've always lived that way. Not always, but since we started learning and stuff like that. We grew up into the faith. Because it's not about him. It's not even about Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim has said things to me before about not doing certain things, specifically, and I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but he's talked to me about not doing them. And I even told him, I said, Pastor, I don't even do it for you. I'm doing it for God, because I know it's what I'm supposed to do. You know, and of course, he understands that, because he does the same thing for his pastor. You know what I mean? But we're not after people to. I'll do all the work. I don't care. It's not a matter of that. Praise the Lord. I think I've proven that over and over again. My point is that we need to connect to what God's doing. We need to find that local body and then connect to it and say, you know what? This is the direction that God has us going. Because if God is taking this local body somewhere, then everybody who's connected to this local body is going in that direction. And that means that everybody's blessing is in that direction. Everybody's plan is in that direction. Now, not everybody is called to this church. I'll just tell you that right now. But if you've been sitting here for a while, chances are you probably are. Hallelujah. And so you need to be going in that same direction, because it's not my direction anyways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love what Brother Hagin said. He's like, I didn't want to do any of this anyways. I didn't plan any of this. Last thing I wanted to do was stand before people. I was fine serving. I love serving. Serving was my favorite. Hallelujah. It was. It was my favorite of favorites. I loved ushering. I loved being able to be there. I loved carrying. I'm going to tell you right now. I carried my pastor's Bible, and I loved it. Yeah. It was a joy to me to be able to follow my pastor around and carry his book. It was a joy to me. I've washed my pastor's shorts before. Hallelujah. It was a joy to me to serve my pastor in that way. Why? Because I love, because I'm connected to the plan, because I love him, because you understand. Listen, I don't just serve him that way. I serve my family that way. I would serve people that way. Praise the Lord. I'd wash your shorts if they needed washing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what I'm saying? But to see, this is the way we need to be. And I am not talking about me and saying, oh, pat me on the back. Look how awesome I am not saying that at all, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a dirt bag on my own. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm a dirt bag on my own. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. You see, it was the Holy Spirit connecting with me that has helped me see things the way that I need to see them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And I know there's many people in here that serve. There's many people in here that do wonderful things like that. And this is just even to stir you up in those areas. Like if you're serving, then praise the Lord. Just keep serving with all your heart. Keep doing it. Just keep running with it. You know, we have people that, you know, things that people don't even think about. Most people come in here, they don't think about the lawn. But there's people that do. Most people come in here, they don't think about the clean toilets. But you would if you went to sit on one that was dirty. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let me tell you, I've learned that real quick. There's some bathrooms that I hate using public restrooms because of that. But there's people that clean up the mess here and keep it clean. Amen. There's people that clean up the floor. There's people that bring in snacks. There's people that do the work. There's people that give. Hallelujah. Do you know there's some people that don't give anything? There's some people that give like more than they should. Amen. I saw examples of that even yet today, of people giving more than they should. And it blessed me, but at the same time, I'm like, man, people need to step up and they need to do it for, I'm talking about for the work, you understand. Praise the Lord. So 2 Peter 3:17, glory to God. Oh, man, Jesus, hallelujah. We love you, Lord. But you give me a lot to give them, hallelujah. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. This is a warning to brethren. Be careful. Listen, if you don't think you can be deceived, you're already deceived. If you don't think that this applies to you, it already does. I'm just telling you. Hallelujah. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware. Beware. Watch out. Be careful, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Look at this. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now, both now and forever. Amen. Grow. If you are not growing, you have been deceived. If you are not growing, you have fallen victim of the trap of the devil. If you are not growing, praise the Lord. If you have not advanced spiritually beyond where you were when you came in, something is wrong. Praise the Lord. And it's not on God's end. God is trying to get you to grow. He's given us the word that we grow. We need to grow. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Bible says we go from glory to glory. Praise the Lord. We don't go glory to lesser. We don't go glory backwards. God, He wants us to grow. I'm going to tell you something. There are people in this community that desperately, 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 and some of you know what I'm talking about, need you to grow. They need you to be right. Because the stuff that's happening in this community that's not right, we're going to be accountable for it, the ones sitting in these seats. Because we're the ones who are supposed to be changing it, and people aren't changing it. People aren't stopping it. People in this community are not getting reached the way they need to reach because people are not doing their part. They're not growing into those things. They're not changing. They're still being held by the world to the world standards. They're holding on to all the stuff they want. And the whole time you got people around you that are dying. You got people around you that are addicted. You got people around you that are falling apart because people are just too much wrapped up in themselves to change it. It is up to us. Listen, there are people in hospitals. The power of God is all around us. There are people in hospitals whose lives could be changed if they just got the word, but they're not having people take the word. Because most people are coming to church and they're sitting there, they're just trying to get what they need. I just got to get to church because I need this. And listen, it's good that you come to church to get what you need. But at some point you need to realize you need to come to church for more than just you. You need to come to church to grow, to change, to go out there and do the work of the Lord. Because I can't do it by myself. My wife can't do it by herself. This group of believers is supposed to grow and flourish and supposed to flourish this community. God wants to do something here, but God only does things through human hands. He only does things on this earth through human hands. He always uses a human to catch up with it. But he can't do it if people won't do it. He can't do it if people if they won't connect to it. See, that's why the vision is so important. You know, people think that I'm yapping at them, and people will think that I'm like, you know, saying this all the time. I'm not trying to do anything. I'm trying to stir you to love the Lord enough to say that it's important to me to go out and do the work of the ministry. We are all called to the work of the ministry. You may not have known that coming in, but guess what? You wanted saved, didn't you? You wanted to not go to hell, didn't you? Well, there's a price to pay to not go to hell, and that's called serving the Lord. There's a price to pay, and that's saying connecting to the Lord's plan and going with that and not doing your own thing anymore. That's the price that it costs, and that's not a bad price. That's not asking too much. For God's sakes, He picked us up and turned us around. But again, most Christians, they don't build their faith to the point where they can conquer a trial. They're always knocked down and defeated by them. And I'm not saying, well, listen, we're going to go through things that sometimes are hard, and we need a brother and sister that's there. But you know something? We need brothers and sisters that are there. We need a brother and sister that we can honestly turn to and say, you know what? I'm going to stand there and hold you up. I need brothers and sisters there. I need brothers and sisters that say, you know what, Pastor, I know that this is the plan of God, and so I'm running after it with you. I'm holding up your arms. Because guess what? The first attack comes here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But that's the truth. It comes here. So while you're eating your tea and crumpets, praise the Lord, sometimes there's some pressure coming on. Sometimes there's things. But listen, I'm going to still run with it. Amen. I'm going to still, because I'm after it. And there's other people like me. I'm not saying I'm set apart or anything like that, because I'm no more special than anyone else that does it. Amen. Glory to God. But God wants to do something. Amen. Lord, why don't you turn with me to Luke 10:2. Luke 10:2, glory to God, hallelujah. There's enough anointing, and potential anointing in every service to heal every sickness, every disease, to walk out the plan of God fully, to have every trial overcome. There's enough anointing in here to do it. But it matters how people connect to it. Can I give you an example? Mind if I tell on you for a minute? Last week, I preached a message called The Power of God. And I felt like I was walking through 3 feet of mud, dragging something very heavy behind me. Because as I looked out there, everybody's face was like this. I'm talking about the power of God, and people look like... Do you know what that does? That your face is generally an outward expression of what's on the inside. And man, people were in here, they were, it was like I couldn't do anything. I talked about, was it last week I talked about electricity? I wanted to walk around with a little electric cord and give everybody a little zap and just say, hey, listen, we need to be stirred and excited. Praise the Lord. You know, this isn't like a beat up people session. But what this is saying is we have to look at this as serious. It's got to be important to us. Amen. You wouldn't just go to your job and just be like, you know, you wouldn't just go to your job and just, you know, leave your station a mess or never even take care of anything. Or, you know, if you have tools, you just lay them in the mud and just leave them there and stuff. If you do, you're a fool. But, you know, I mean, seriously, like you wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? Because there's importance to it. Amen. If you work for people, you certainly, if you do your best to be there on time, because that you know what I mean? Because that's part of it. You know, you take it seriously is what I'm saying. We need to take the work of the Lord seriously, because after all, a few years, 80, 90 years, whatever, give or take a few, and we're gone. But we spend eternity somewhere. And that eternity is determined. You know, there's a lot of that. We're going to be, some of us are going to be very sad when we stand before Jesus, because we're like, Lord, I have no fruit. And He's going to want some. Amen. Oh, praise God. Luke 10:2. Then He said to them, we're going to read 2 and 3. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Look at this. Jesus said this back then. It's no different now. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. The ones who will do the work, the ones who are sold out to it, the ones who will go all the way with it, they're few. The harvest, do you know what happens? I've seen harvest that is great. We have a tree, a neighbor's tree, and the neighbor to us at the Corey Church, they have this big apple tree. And just a month ago, it was absolutely loaded with apples. You know, right now, there's no apples on the tree. They're all rotting on the ground. You know why they're rotting on the ground? Because the laborers were few. There was nobody who saw enough. You know, this is just an illustration. There's nobody that saw enough importance in those apples to go collect them. You know, there's starving people in this nation. There's starving people in this world. And yet we have food falling on the ground. Praise the Lord, rotting, because there isn't laborers. You understand, like God will, listen, this nation is, God is okay with running over an extra. But my point being is that if there was enough laborers, there wouldn't be the starving. If there was enough laborers, there wouldn't be the people going without, because the people would have the word and they would have their lives changed. The word is meant to change people's lives. If it's not changing people's lives, there's one of two problems. Either the word's not being taught or the people aren't connecting to it. It's one of the two things. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. I send you out. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. And that's where I wanted to end with that. See, that's exactly what's happening. You think you go out in the world, you know there's opposition in the world. You know people come against your faith in the world. If you don't turn on the news for 2 seconds and watch, there's people that hate everything that we're preaching. But it's still the truth. So God was sending us as lambs among wolves, but he also said that he would take care of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he told us to go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews 10:23. Praise God. See, God is trying to grow us up into things. You know, we've seen this so many times just as pastors, and it's sad. I've seen people who are other people are connected to them, and because of their lack of what they will do, you watch other people fall off and never make the mark. I've seen it in both churches now. I've seen it in Corey and Mayville, and I've seen it in Jamestown and Fredonia. But I've, you know, all over the place. Of course, it's all over. It's prevalent. But we have to realize everything that we won't do for the Lord, every thing that we refuse to get beyond, there's somebody that's connected to that. Everything that you refuse, every doctrine that you hear taught out of the Word that you have a hard time with, that you won't connect to, do you realize that there's lives that are at stake? Yeah, absolutely. Because maybe you don't care about healing for yourself, but somebody around you needs it. And see, if they're not taught about healing, if they're not taught the way it works, they're never going to receive it. It's the same thing with salvation. You think about people, you just look at the people that are around you as friends, you just look at them as neighbors or whatever. Do you realize that they have an eternity that may be in hell? They may spend eternity in hell just because you didn't say anything to them. You know what I mean? We have to grow up in these things. We have to be like, you know what? The work of the Lord is important to me. It means something to me. Amen? Where did I tell you to go? Hebrews 10:23. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. I love this scripture. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. When the trial comes, when it's turned up on you, this is where you hold fast your confession of hope. This is where you hold fast. You say, you know what? Nope, God is good. God is faithful. He will always come through for me. This is why we need to know the scripture. See, because if you didn't know the scripture before today, you didn't know this. And that's important. It's important that you do know it. Amen? Praise the Lord. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider what? One another. To stir up what? Love and good works. What are we doing here? We're stirring up love and good works. I love every single one of you. Praise the Lord. If there's any one of you called me and said, Pastor, I need you. I can't say, is there as one of you here that I would reject? If any one of you called me up and said, I need you. I would hope it's the same. I would hope that if I called on any of you and said, you know what, your pastor, you know, I need you. I would hope that you would do the same. That's all we're doing. We're stirring up love and good works. Praise the Lord. You know, I think about the things that get, and I don't know why I get think about the lawn. You know, I'll just say the person that does the lawn doesn't even want credit for doing the lawn. But you know, there's something, it blesses me that it's just always taken care of. He always thinks about it. Amen? He's always making sure that, and there's other people that watch out for things, you know, and oversee things. But see, that's just the heart. That's the heart of what God is. He wants us to look at things and make them our vision. Do you know what I'm saying? It becomes our vision. It's like this is more than just me doing this for just to do it because it needs to be done, but it's part of who I am now. Do you know what I mean? And I don't mean that I want everybody to go take the long guy's job away from you know what I mean? You're like, oh yeah, I gotta go do it. No, but you find your things. You know, you find your place, amen. We need to desire that. We need to desire, hey, how can I do this? Because this is where God works. This is where the miracle working power of God starts flowing. You know, the early church, the Bible said that they didn't even, nothing that was their own, they even called it their own. They shared everything. That's the way the early church was. That's why the early church, when Peter and Paul would walk by people, their shadow would fall on them and they would be healed instantly. That's why the power of God worked like that then. That's why it doesn't work like that now, because everybody each runs to his own. Everybody's like, you know, there's a saying, if my house needs carpet or the church needs carpet, the church is getting carpet. Amen. Amen. Most people don't live that way. I can tell you we do. Praise the Lord. And I know not thousands, but I know bunches and bunches and bunches of people that live that same way, including my pastor. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I've watched that man. That's what stirred me so much, because I watched him just be a blessing to the people of God. I watched him be a blessing to the church and other ministers, those who are above. It blessed me so much to watch him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He who promises faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. He says you need this more as the day is approaching, but people are doing it less. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. I mean, people are doing it less. People are following God less. They're after the things of God less. You know, you have churches. Well, praise God. Glory to God. I'm going to say this because they won't even watch it. I'm not going to say who it is. We got a letter, somebody we helped, saying thank you for everything you did. But we decided to go to this other church, and I just happen to know this other church. Yeah. And I know why they go there. Because it's a church that won't step on toes. It's a church that won't say this truth. It's a church that will allow you to drink. It's a church, or, you know, that will say that it's okay to do that stuff. It's a church that will allow you to get away with just pretty much whatever you want. It's a seeker-sensitive church. Thank you for helping us find the plan of God for our lives. But we're going to go over here. I'll tell you. Praise the Lord. This felt good. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But see, there will be a time where they'll answer. And hopefully they get it right. You know, I'm not rooting for them. But there will be a time where we answer for those things. You know what I mean? It's like, but that's how people think. They think that, you know, this church says a little bit more than I wish they would. So I'm going to go over here where they'll tell me God still loves me, but they just won't make me do anything. They won't talk about tithing because, you know, I don't want to do that. They won't talk about serving because I really don't want to do that. They won't talk about being friendly or putting down the booze or whatever else. They won't talk about these things. Praise the Lord, they'll just patty cake everything and tell me it's all right. Well, guess what? There'll be a lot of people who go to hell from that doctrine too, and it's sad, but it's the truth. Ephesians 4:11. We're getting there. We're getting there, folks. We're not going to get all the way there. I'm just telling you that right now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The time is so fast. We gotta get one of those Canadian clocks. Aren't they behind us a little bit in some stuff? You know, like financially. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a dollar for $1.30 or something like that. Maybe I could get for an hour, I could get $1.30. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know if they do that in Canada. We have to ask our Canadian friends. Listen, I don't hate on Canadians. I am one, kind of. Praise the Lord. Not, you know, I'm American, but I, you know, descendants from Canada, praise the Lord, who were in America, but then went to Canada. A bunch of goofy people. Hallelujah. But they went before everything got established, so that, you know, they just didn't know what they were doing. Praise the Lord. I'm also related to the Hersheys, praise the Lord. And I found the lineage. I can tell you exactly how I'm related to Milton Hershey, praise God. And that's why I like chocolate so much. Ephesians 4:11, glory to God. And he himself, Jesus himself, everybody say he himself. That's Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Amen? Well, you got a pastor standing in front of you today. Praise the Lord. But he gave some to be that. For what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying is like building up, is making it better. If you're not making the body of Christ better, you're not being an effective member of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. You can't be, you know, the Bible says that we all supply our part, whatever that part is. If you're not supplying that part, then the body's going without that part. The laborers are few, but the harvest is plentiful because somebody's not supplying the part. Somebody won't run with it. Somebody won't stay up late. Somebody won't go that extra mile. Somebody, you know what I'm saying? We need to be those people that will. And I believe, I'm going to tell you, I believe this is a church of people. Even if you're not currently doing some of these things, I believe that there's enough good-hearted people in here that want to be, and maybe just need to be stirred to be. So, you know, I believe that we're a church of extraordinary people. Praise the Lord. So I'm not coming down on you, but I am encouraging you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we see that God has put these things in our lives to increase us, to help us grow, right? That we should no longer be children, praise God, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. This goes back to what I was saying. If you can't answer for your faith, if you don't know why you believe what you believe, then you can be deceived very easily into following some doctrine that isn't true. And there are people who have gone to hell following doctrine that isn't true. There are people that do every day. Amen? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. How is the body joined and knit together? By what every joint supplies. You do your part, I do my part. Amen? Praise the Lord. According to the effective working of by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So the body is to edify itself in love, and you are to do your part to edify it in love. You know, we've seen this. We see people, you know what? People have come to me many times over the years. Pastor, you know, this is something that I do, and I just want to, I would like to do this for the church or something like that. You know, what a blessing that is. You know, we see that. We saw that when we did work in here and elsewhere. You know, there's people that showed up and said, I may not be able to be there every day, but I can be there these days. And then they were, you know. And that's the kind of thing. We show up. You know, show up to those things and help, you know, praise the Lord, because the work, that's how the work gets done. Amen? I want to share a scripture with you. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. Glory to God. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. That's pretty amazing. God has planned things for us. But if we're not seeking that, if we're not even getting into that, if you've been saved, I've been seeking it for 10 years, Pastor, and I still haven't figured it out, then talk to me. We can help with these things. I had a pastor who helped me find the plan of God for my life. It wasn't necessarily what I thought I was going to do, but it certainly is doing it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And it's been more blessed. I can't think of a better thing to do than what I do right now, unless it's more of it. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just as God calls us into more of what he has, you know, it's always a blessing. Glory to glory. The reason so many Christians never get beyond their trials is because they refuse to put true faith to practice. They never deal with their own stuff, and therefore they never help anyone. They don't help anyone else because they never deal with their own stuff. You think about it. If you've gone through anything hard, a sickness, I think about this. Whenever she's gotten ill, you know, like there's been a few times she's gotten ill that's like put her in bed. You know, nothing gets done in the house. I mean, nothing. We try. Praise the Lord. When she was in, some of us do anyways. I try. Praise the Lord. When she was pregnant with Ezra, the devil tried to take Ezra. We've told you the story before, but she was put on bed rest the last few weeks of her pregnancy, you know. And I tried to help. The dining room table became the laundry station. Hallelujah. I got it there, and I got most of it folded, and some of it hung up. Praise the Lord. But, you know, and I'm just telling you the truth. This is the way, and I'm not trying to say, like, you know, women got to do laundry stuff. Don't twist this or anything like that, because that's not always the case. Just in our household, it works better. She orchestrates that. Amen. Doesn't mean she does it all, but if she orchestrates it, right? Am I right? Praise the Lord. So at any rate, there's things that shut down when things aren't happening, you know, when everybody doesn't show up to do their part. And so that's the same thing. Let me read this again because I think this is really important. The reason so many Christians never get beyond their trials. What's your trial? What are you dealing with? What keeps coming up? The reason they never get beyond it is because they refuse to put true faith to practice. They never deal with their own stuff and therefore never help anyone else. And if you're not helping anyone else, God isn't helping you. He isn't pouring out on people. God is not pouring out on people that are not doing anything. He's not doing it. The healing, all this stuff, the blessing that you want, all these things, they all fall to the wayside if you're not doing anything for the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. That's the way it is. I mean, there is a connection to it. Praise the Lord. We're getting close to the end, I know, and I'm not going to get all the way I need to get, but I wanted to get, this is one group of scriptures that I haven't really preached on too much before, but I want to show you something here, because this gives us a perfect example. Turn with me to Luke 4:38. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Luke 4:38. And it says, Now he arose, Jesus arose from the synagogue and entered Simon, that's Peter, the apostle Peter, praise the Lord, entered Simon Peter's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made requests of him concerning her. In other words, they came to her and said, you know, he came to her house, and Jesus came to her house, their house, and they said, Lord, my mother-in-law is sick. Can you do something about this, or will you do something about this? And so it says here that he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately, what does it say there? Immediately, she arose and served them. People get their help, and then they're gone. They do that all the time. People get what they need. See ya. Praise the Lord. Don't need you anymore. Wouldn't want to be a, you know what I mean? They're just gone. They're out of there. They're gone. They're like a, I'm not going to say it. They're like something bad in the wind. They're just gone, praise the Lord. They're gone. People do this all the time. They get the things they need from the Lord, or they start getting blessed, and then when it's time to repay, they're like, well, I wanted to do this, though. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Got my fix. Thank you, Pastor. But, I'm distracted by what's going on. After all, you know, and you hear all the excuses. You know, you can go down all excuses. They're just young. They want to be doing those things. That's no excuse. Tell that to Jesus. He was young. He was 33 years old when he went to the cross. That's not very old at all. His whole life was dedicated to the work of the Lord. Tell it to him. When you stand before him, tell him that you were too young and you needed to sow your wild oats or whatever you want to come up with. That's garbage. And anybody who accepts that, that's why we don't accept it in our kids. That's why we teach our kids to live to a higher standard. Why? Because we don't need our kids living like the devil. Because if they live like the devil, they'll have what the devil has. But look at this. She was sick. He rebuked it. She got up and she served. Praise the Lord. She immediately did something in response to what, listen, we've got to take this. This is a short passage. Two scriptures here that talk about this. Then it goes on to talk about something else, and before it talked about something else. This is here for our teaching, for our understanding. God helped her, and she got up and served. Amen? Immediately. Praise God. James, and listen, I'm going to tell you something. The mother-in-law, so she wasn't 20 years old. Praise the Lord. She was a sick, older lady. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? Now, I'm not saying you got to go move rocks or go rake the lawn or anything like that, but I'm just saying, you know, like, think about it. If we live in our sickness, if we accept this, if we always are, this is where we're at, that's where we'll always be. Real quick, turn with me to James 2. I know I want to get this in. Pretty sure it's important because it was in the message, amen? But we'll get there. Praise the Lord. We're just going to take an extra. We're going to take the last 5 minutes. We're going to take in Canadian. Praise God, hallelujah. Forgot for a second where James was. Amen. James 2 and verse 14. Oh, I got a bunch of scriptures here, but we're going to get through them. Yeah, this is just very plain. But he repeats himself a lot, but it's very plain. 14. Praise God. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can faith save him? I have faith, but I don't have works. Can faith still save you if you don't have works in your faith? That's something to think about. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. What you do proves what you believe. Because if you truly believe this stuff, you'll do something about it. Praise the Lord. You'd be scared not to tell you the truth. Praise God. Verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Here we hear this again. But Christians still live this way. Do you know what works is? I'm going to make it real plain and simple. It's doing the work of the Lord. If you're constantly doing your own stuff and you're never doing anything for God, I'm not talking about making up and stuff in your head that this is for God and I'm going to do this and then try to get credit for it. I'm talking about doing the work of the Lord. Are you doing the work of the Lord? Are you connecting to the work and saying, I'm going out in the world and living this? That's doing the work of the Lord, amen? It isn't just pretending that you're doing the work of the Lord. Faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect? So you can have faith, but if you don't do anything with the faith, it's gone. It dissipates. Praise the Lord. And scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. This is why we go to all those seeker-sensitive churches, why we come against them, and we say, listen, you can't teach people that you can live any way you want because the Bible says just the opposite. You can't do whatever you want afterwards. That's not the way it works. Praise the Lord. You see then that man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What this is saying is this. What do we obtain by? Does anyone know? We obtain by faith. All things that we receive by faith. We receive salvation by faith. We receive healing by faith. We receive prosperity by faith. We receive all the promises of God. And the Bible even tells us that we receive all the promises. All. A-L-L. Every single promise of God we receive by faith. And so if faith doesn't have works and it's dead, it's not receiving anything. And this is why people don't receive. Because they come, they want their help, but then they're gone. They don't ever connect to it. They don't ever do anything with it. They never make it of utmost importance in their life. And so they don't have what God is trying to give them. And then they sit there and then we have churches full of people claiming, well, this stuff is God's stuff. It doesn't really, you know, that's not really what God meant. He didn't really mean healing. And because everybody's sick because nobody's doing anything. That's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it's the truth. Amen. I'm going to close with a scripture. I just have it written down here and I'll share it with you. Praise the Lord. Job 42:10. And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Everybody talks about poor old Job, but when Job finally got it that it wasn't just about him, guess what happened? God restored him, and he had twice as much as he had before. Our God is an overflowing God. He's a want to help you all the way God. I'm a want to help you all the way pastor. But it only happens if we connect to what God is doing. Amen. What the work of the Lord is. Amen.